Welcome to the Snarling Men, the unofficial Silly Football Club podcast. I'm your host, the Comic Snob, and this week I'm joined by Stannis to go over the wreckage of a recent cup defeat to Aberdeen and where Celtic go from here. Speech at the end of the pod. Right, so we're back, Snarling Men. A real extravaganza this week. I'm joined by Stannis. Hi, Stannis.
I like that, man.
We've got no Bruce Hill this week, but he's read out, he's sent me an emotional statement that I'll read out later. And of course, we're going to have to go through the wreckage and Saturday's defeat to Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup, which practically ended the season in February, and we've got 3 months of relatively meaningless games.
Pre-season friendlies.
Oh, joy.
During this season.
But let's start by some egotastic frenzy for me.
Are you all right, TG?
Now, tell the listeners who predicted this one. Friday night.
Neil Lennon.
No.
Friday night, yourself, predicted it would be 2-1, even though I was laughing at you predicting Aberdeen even scoring. I didn't know what you'd seen it coming for, but clearly you were a genius.
Just like I sadly predicted last season's horrendous semi-final defeat to St Mirren. I predicted Saturday defeat to Aberdeen.
Right, Phil.
Which gives me no great pleasure because we've got loads of meaningless games now. Anyway, let's go on to Saturday's game.
Aye, well done.
After that wonderful bit of ego.
You're going to bring out a book now, aye?
I'm going to get Neil Lennon to write the forward. Right. So, the first real problem on Saturday came when the team was announced. Charlie McGrew was out, which even though we've gave him a lot of stick, ended up being a problem. However, Neil Lennon decided, as he's done before in cup games, to make changes to a winning team. The team, we have to say, even though we've not been playing great, they've won 11 league games in a row, no conceded any goals, but we decided to make drastic changes. At the back, took out Darnell Fisher, who had been playing well, maybe went off form a wee bit, but we rushed back Adam Matthews for the first game in ages. He was half fit, that's happened before. Then, and even more bizarre circumstances, Georgios Samaras returned, which
he did have one good pass for the goal.
He had one good pass for the goal,
but then you didn't see him do that
was
for the rest of the game.
A player that you've got to think Celtic were trying to punt last month, but as before, he's been thrown into a big game, and of course it ended up with terrible circumstances. And then up front, but it surprised us. I'm no jumping for joy with Lee Griffiths signing, but I think he'll score goals domestically. But he was on the bench, and Anthony Stokes, who was, as everybody knows, abysmal in the game against St Mirren last week, missed an open goal, played up front with Chris Collins behind him. But the biggest problem was in midfield, where it ended up being Johansson and Brown against either four or five Aberdeen players.
No, Barry Robson killed Celtic on Saturday.
Barry Robson and Will Flood, two players who weren't good enough for Celtic. Niall McGinn, another player, wasn't good enough for Celtic. The three of them all played superbly. Right, well, we'll go through the actual game. We opened the score in the first 5-10 minutes in our typical way we've done recently. Georgios Samaras with a good boy, Anthony Stokes, the only thing Samaras done a whole game. Stokes scored. I think a lot of people thought we were just going to steamroll Aberdeen,
well,
didn't we?
Yes, because I had it on. As well as the Arsenal one when I was gloriously painting the house on Saturday. That was fun. As Lena Stroma would say. But I'm not as pathetic as going to watch a Lego movie or anything.
That's true.
However, when we scored, that was it. I thought we're going to bore it into submission now. So I just assumed it was going to be a trudging 1-0 victory while Neil Lennon was obsessed with keeping another clean sheet. Even though it wasn't in the league. And then eventually I think I took a break, looked at my phone, and then I got a kick message for the egomaniac that his new day rises. And he said, the exact words were, turn the game on now, you fud. To which I did, only to be greeted with a pathetic score of 2-1 Aberdeen. And it did surprise me. I didn't see it coming. I thought we'd just steamroll them like we have been doing, even though we hadn't been playing brilliantly in the 11 games that we've been a bit inconsistent with it, like consistent with the results, but performances, some of them have just been struggling really bad.
Right, well, let's look back to the actual game itself. The game sort of, we weren't really doing much. Aberdeen started to take control of midfield, and then they equalised just before half time. Our defence, who are supposed to be superstars, failed to clear the ball. Russell Anderson had loads and loads of time. He volleyed into the net.
But I thought Virgil van Dijk was such a superstar that no team can score into us anymore. That was a weighty ship, wasn't it?
Well, we're going to him again in 5 minutes. Well, in a couple of minutes. Well, in the second half, started. Aberdeen again in top. And then they took the lead. Passed by Barry Robson, who, according to the conspiracy theories, handballed it. But for once, Colin really couldn't tell if it was a handball. But he played it through. Johansson never picked up the runner, and Peter Pollitt scored. Then a couple of minutes later, Van Dijk had a free header, the exact same as against Milan, put it over the bar.
Except they volleyed it against Milan, didn't they?
True enough, it was a free opportunity though, header over the bar. Then, moments after that, your defence went missing again. Pollitt hit the post when he should have scored. Then we huffed and puffed, brought Griffiths on for, was it Stokes or Commons? I really should know these things. Well, we brought Griffiths on, he got caught offside a couple of times. Had a fairly good chance for the edge of the box, hit it by the post. Then the last minute, Aberdeen had a breakaway, should have made it 3-1. Mm-hmm. And then that was the end of the game and the end of the season. And
In February,
and it's been pretty catastrophic, really, the reaction.
Let it get away with it last season when Stokes got him out of jail against St Mirren.
No, Dundee United. Oh, St Mirren's won the cup,
I remember. So got away with that big time last season. And that was a game against St Mirren, we were actually terrible as well.
We were.
We weren't the greatest against Dundee United, but we did be able to scrape it.
The cup final was a non-event because Hibs were pathetic. We played no bad as well, Stokes, for once.
So Hibs team managed by Pat Fenlands. There you go.
Yes. But
it's just inexcusable to be, have a season finished. This run, this stupid, obsessive run that Neil Lennon is caring about all for himself, means nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. We've bottled it again. 4 seasons in a row, Neil Lennon has absolutely bricked it for doing a treble. And if we can go through these seasons where 2010, 2011, we can maybe say was unfortunate. League Cup final against Rangers was poor, but you can maybe put that down to the fact that Rangers were mad up for it. Yeah. This was a new Celtic team trying to rebuild. Wasn't too harsh on them,
but
learning curve for them.
But 3 weeks before that,
well, we slaughtered Rangers, didn't we?
And we beat them in a cup as well. Don't forget. And we played them off the park with 10 men. So but we'll talk about that in a segment later.
No, we'll talk about that a bit later. But I guess you're talking about a big game mentality. Rangers had was more up for the game they needed to win.
Then we threw the league away up in
Inverness when we were boozing 3 days before it, which was a laugh. And then we was on to the most, still the biggest disaster was 2011, 2012, where
a treble was on a plate.
Treble was right there for the team. And again, the big game mentality, the players. Combination of terrible tactics for Neil Lennon, the motivation, the players themselves being bottle merchants. Just absolutely awful. The Hearts and Kilmarnock games were abysmal.
Kilmarnock especially. I mean, you can accept losing to Hearts. They've got at least a pedigree. Kilmarnock and they won it for like 15,
Kilmarnock
16.
Had nothing on goal. Hearts at least dominated. Second half, they didn't dominate, but they did look
like Hearts actually. Like,
Skatchel was excellent for them.
Kilmarnock never, and of course, both their games turned into, as usual, blame the referee extravaganza to get away from your players and management's
failings.
I
don't believe that for a second. No way.
And of course, last season we did win the double, but the League Cup was thrown down the toilet. Sadly, I predicted it. The team just didn't turn up against someone who could have won at least 4 or 5-2. But
then, would you say this season's been the worst of them all?
You mean regarding the players or the management?
Just won the treble.
The cup exits have been so feeble. Losing 1-0 in Morton at home when we'd 30 corners after extra time. I mean, Morton is something like 9 points, 8 points bottom of the Championship. That was embarrassing, but that was okay because we were still in the Champions League. Losing 2.
And I remember that, so I think it's alright because it's good for Scottish football.
It's good for Scottish football. I'll talk about that later. This isn't just going to be a rant. I'm sure there'll be some fun somewhere. That defeat on Saturday, I have to say I expected it because somebody who I don't always agree with, we won't name him, said that this team are tedious, flat track bullies at times, and I agree with it. We're able to bulldoze teams in the Premier League, especially don't put up a fight, don't put up a challenge. I mean, the likes of beating Kilmarnock 4-0 the other week, beating Motherwell on that Friday night 5-0, even beating Hearts in the Cup 7-0. A Hearts team that is like full under 21s and
Utopia, mate.
Utopia. couldn't be a nine man Inverness for 30
minutes. I think I get criticised, but for that Hearts game, which now means nothing because we're at that competition, but I said that Hearts game was everybody. I mean, you remember the euphoria people were.
Even people like fellow
Neil Lennon's crap.
Even people like, well, notice that. Even fellow podcast guest The Walsh Show said it was a great achievement. So hope you remember. Well, he won't listen to this because you get censored, of course. But no, I expected it sadly because I knew that having to change that mentality because so many games that we were going to win. I mean, who's going to beat us in this league? Nobody really. I think Aberdeen might beat us in a couple of weeks at Pittodrie, big deal. I knew that the mentality would be wrong because the management and the players are in a comfort zone and they're arrogant as well. I know this might get us stick, but I don't really care anymore. You know it's arrogance, but that's why we played two midfielders against 45 Aberdeen midfielders and we didn't change it.
No, Neil Lennon had no plan beyond it.
You could tell after 20 minutes that Robson and Flood, two players who are discarded with us, especially Robson, who helped win us a league 6 years ago, They just controlled the game and we did nothing to change it. In the second half, the last 10 minutes, reverting to Walter Smith, 90s stuff, throwing the centre half up front. It's just poor when you look at the resources we've got. We're so far ahead. Every team in Scotland, even our deadly rivals, Aberdeen. I mean, even the zombie dead Huns, etc. I mean,
we're now in the competition.
Get an easy cup draw. Must be a
the very fact that they're in the competition, no matter who they draw ahead of us, is an absolute.
And Alan McCoy's has made a mean embarrassing joke, and they're in the quarterfinals, guaranteed a semi final at home. Of course, I guaranteed it because the draw was made in favour of them, of course.
Oh, of course. That's why
Aberdeen get an easy draw as well. But, that game Saturday just put the tin lid on what's been a very poor season for us this season. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at, before we talk about Neil Lennon and Peter Lawwell and the internet, which will no doubt take a big chunk. Let's talk about the players.
I'm never on the internet,
mate. That's true. Let's talk about the players. Now, Georges Samaras, we've talked about him before. In fact, in this couple of podcasts ago, I think you were yet again absent. Damn you. Well, me and Bruce were
focus,
saying...
Focus, raided by Hus.
Well, that's true, of course.
It's a done raid.
Sorry, terrible Irish songs we're singing. It just makes no sense for Georges Samaras to be involved in the first team.
Shouldn't have been played at all when he was no signing that contract. Exactly. I don't get it.
I think that this is just speculation, but I think that Joe Ledley was sort of pushed out. I don't think he wanted to leave. I mean, I was fairly ambivalent about him leaving because I don't think he's played as well as he did in his first two seasons. Mm-hmm. But I think that was the club's decision to leave and no Ledley. Mm-hmm. I think Ledley probably would have stayed to the end of the season and left for nothing.
I'm not going to agree about Ledley too much because, you know, I thought so.
Me neither, but he probably would have done better on Saturday than Samaras. But that's
it was a cup game. It was a game that really we needed to push on and win. He wouldn't have been there to see at all. He would have been hiding.
True. Well, Georges,
but he did actually score on Saturday, didn't he?
He did, and he was playing left back as well for Crystal Palace.
Which is a position that he did alright in with Celtic when he was at the start of the season.
First season,
in St Mirren actually.
He did, but that's all done in the great management of Tony Pulis.
I want to go into him later.
Right, okay, we're big fans of him in the pod.
I love him.
I wouldn't go that far.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man. Tremendous manager.
Do you love him as much as James Dean?
Let's still go nuts.
Right, so Georges, I mean, Samaras shouldn't have played. He was on the left wing, where, as usual, he didn't really do much. He done one thing, the pass for Stokes' goal, and that was more about Stokes' finish. And then that's it. He done nothing the rest of the game.
And again, Lennon kept him on.
Another one, a big player, Scott Brown, who supposedly a driver's own captain, etc., get booked in the first 15-20 minutes after some stupid fight. I think it was with Paul, a young guy. Then after they get booked, that was it. He never done anything.
Dominated by Will or Flood.
Flood and Robson dominated.
Flood seemed to have a man Martin job on him again. and this is a guy who probably wasn't a fan of the tie Scott Brown shoelaces.
No, and he was Waterford wasn't really very good for Celtic.
He was poor for Celtic.
But the thing
he didn't
is,
deserve a chance either, but no. He was absolutely brilliant on Saturday.
He was, and the thing with Brown is that booking just took him out of the game completely. I mean, you know he stands aggressive and staring at people, woo, brilliant. But again, his discipline let him down, and he was practically useless because
yeah,
I think
he's staring at people. That's why I do on a Saturday night, and it gets me nowhere. So I don't know about Scott Brown, man. He's the day back.
Well, you've got a bomb hidden in your jacket as well, right now.
Oh, that's just true. I have to get a whole inside to me.
Anthony Stokes, I would have played Lee Griffiths. I'm not ecstatic about Griffiths, but as I said, I think he'll score goals for us. Stokes scored and then fell out of the game. Now let's talk about Chris Commons, who sort of has dragged this Celtic team by the scruff of the neck this season. He's got 20 goals for us.
Yeah, it was another occasion in a big stage where he needed to deliver.
Yeah,
where he didn't, just like the Champions
Unfortunately, League. His performance was like one of his Champions League performances.
His touch was absolutely chronic.
And that was summed up when I think Forrest put a ball in for him and he completely miskicked it. I mean, a Celtic to play well, we need Commons to play well. Commons didn't play well.
It's terrible into how there's two players you could say at Celtic who, if they play well, the team does.
Who's
well.
The other one?
Maybe, I don't know, three maybe. Brown, Commons and Van Dijk.
Well, Van Dijk, who I know Stevie doesn't seem to like, doesn't seem to like for some reason. I think he's a good player. He's overrated by the fans, but it always happens.
I think he is right. He is a good player. But he's so overrated. I've never seen the... Me and the Ball Show said it, that he is our Boomsong. Where Boomsong just strode through the league up here and he was just walking through it, laughing at defenders. Rangers fans absolutely hyped him up.
They did get £8 million for him.
They did get stupid money for him, but then look what happened when he left.
That's true.
AJ was just a colossal nightmare.
That's true.
And I think Van Dijk, if he goes to a higher level, see all that strolling about that he does, all that swagger, the smug face. Honestly, I think you're not going to see that happen because he won't at a higher level. I do think Van Dijk will be found out. And again, you can quote me on that. See if he ever does leave and we do a podcast. And again, he's actually excelling. I'll hold my hands up and say I got it completely down. But I honestly think, to our aspect of Celtic fans, just really overrate the guy. He's no Merlin, okay.
Oh, what happens with players? They're always overrated, especially with us in that team that died. Ho ho ho. So what's happened to us in them? We always overrate them.
And then when again, what happens is when they leave, they all get abuse.
That's true.
Why you know Steinman to be a legend?
That's true.
I'm sure Gary Hooper, Joe Ledley, and Wanyama all really care about what these daft.
Even the likes of Stephen Davis at left Rangers. Naismith,
yeah,
there you go.
Naismith is the biggest one.
Van Dijk and Ambrose were just very, very poor. Ambrose reverted back to his sort of bomb scare stuff of last season. Van Dijk really wasn't at the races. I mean, Forrest had a lot of chances. We've done one good ball for Van Dijk's header. But I mean, Forrest wasn't really in the game much. Adam Matthews shouldn't have played. He wasn't fit.
That's sort of Darnell Fisher, why he didn't start. It was unreal.
Fisher should have
he's
started.
He's been excellent the last few games.
That's on the manager. Forster couldn't really do much with the goals. But I mean, nobody played well. And the manager's tactics were abysmal. And he done nothing really to change it. And a lot of people won't agree with this, but we seem to be at a crossroads now at Celtic. Things are stagnating on and off the park. We're getting a lot of money in, 21 million profit. We're not really spending it on.
We won that big profit cup though. So
we did, but we're not spending it in good, really good players. The players that we do sign don't usually get in the team. Look at they were on the bench on Saturday. So there's a problem, and the problems are.
I'm not going to lie, I like doing this podcast, but I'm bored talking about Celtic, innit?
It's no fun.
Really, it's crap. Aye. Sitting here with a big crap face.
That's what you've always got.
Comedy genius.
Thank you. But the problems are Neil Lennon and Peter Lawwell, and I'm probably best for all concerned if some of them if they leave Celtic at the end of the season. But chances are none of them will leave, but one might leave, and I think that person will be Neil Lennon. And I think it'll be for the best. For Neil Lennon and Celtic, that if we say at the end of the season he can go with his head held relatively high. I mean, I don't want to just bash him. Right, we need to differentiate between what happens to Neil Lennon off the pitch and on the pitch. And a lot of people can't do that. I mean, what happens to him off the pitch is terrible. I mean, the death rates and stuff were terrible. They go in 2011. I mean, even the stuff last week with Aberdeen fans wasn't it great? It wasn't the anti-Irish racism.
I was
it. Sorry, that's right. It wasn't it great. In fact, it shouldn't have happened. But a lot of people use that as a reason for covering up Neil Lennon's failings as a football manager.
I'll say one thing though, where it would probably, if that was McCoy's that was happening to you last week, a lot of Daft Rangers fans would use his.
Aye.
That's our excuse as well with him.
Aye.
Where it just, I don't think it was any Irish racism. Really.
I think it was just Neds, that's all idiots.
Just Dafties. Like, have that ever happened to fans going to football, being idiots, being drunk dicks? I had to let them.
But with the Aberdeen fans did some bad chants on Saturday, I heard. I'm really upset about it.
But were they terrible chants at all? I've heard some stuff got following Celtic away, and even sitting at Celtic Park, I've heard some stuff that would make me want to go back to primary school and start my life over there again.
I was going to say maybe go back to Ireland.
Back to Iraq.
Well, by the way, if Alan McCoist was at that game, he wouldn't have went to an Aberdeen game for a start, Alan McCoist. Let's be sensible here. He dug a horrendous wish. I don't want to talk about Scottish Cup winning manager Alan McCoist. Right.
Super salary, mate.
Aye, super salary. The thing is...
But no, you're right. I do agree that people have to realise Neil Lennon after the park and on the park are two different things. And even on Saturday, the terrible, terrible result, you were still searching. And some people were still saying, Gaffey's back after everything he's been through. Get behind them, you're like, no, hold on. If that was Gordon Stratton, and my thought, yeah. You know, my thought, I don't do revisionism, I don't romanticise Stratton's era.
Mm-hmm.
Summit was absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Summit was terrible. The football was chronic, Summit, but I do respect a lot of Stratton as well, and I'm quite fair on him. And if that was Stratton that achieved that result against Aberdeen Saturday, in fact, when we get knocked out in 2008,
mm-hmm.
Stratton was getting absolutely lambasted. I believe that was, because that was in
March.
Because a couple of weeks later, we didn't get beat against Rangers. Mm-hmm. Ibrox 1-0, Kevin Thompson scored.
Yeah. Week later, we lost to Motherwell.
And that was, I've never seen the vitriol.
Fans were shouting, Stratton get to fuck.
There was stuff against his wife, his kids. It was pure horrific stuff. And, you know, there'd been none of that stuff happening near Neil Lennon if he went on a run like that, which Stratton did.
The other thing is,
just use that part about what happened with the bombs and bullets.
Stratton also had to contend with a Rangers team that were good and probably cheated. But
he was up against the Rangers team in 05-06 who were reigning champions, but McLeish had taken them as far as they can. They were poor. They couldn't divvy up Champions League with league football. 06-07, I still feel if Paul Gwynn got a fair chance long term, they could have been better. And then 07-08. Smith came back in and there's no doubt about it. Stratton did really, really well. Even if it was some questionable tactics,
it was. But back to your gaffer, the gaffer. The thing is, well, do I just turn into a bash Neil Lennon session?
Neither, because I'm sitting here with his t-shirt on and his t-shirt.
He has gave us some good results. I mean, the win against Barcelona, I mean, we know it's a milestone when everybody's next, but it was a great night. We can't deny that.
Definitely.
Win against Spartak Moscow away was brilliant. The 3-0 against Rangers in 2011 is the actual utopia of Neil Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the high watermark. Nothing they'll do will beat that. And since then, that was 3 years ago this month.
The game that I burst into tears at.
Stannis cried at that game for some obscure reason, unlike me, who's never cried.
Sorry, I forgot that it's a bad thing to get
emotional. No, I've never done that.
Right then.
But since then, I mean, the football, standard of football has really collapsed. Of course, the big problem is we've sold good players and we're going to replace them. I mean, Hooper and Wanyama played in Saturday with a win. Especially Hooper. I mean,
I don't blame these guys like Hooper and Wanyama.
There's no competition
in Celtic under the force to win as well. I don't care about how often we get in the Champions League or not. And you want to actually win the Champions League, not just be in it. You want to actually be in a team that has a chance of winning it. And
it's never going to happen with us. But the problem is it's Neil and got the job 4 years ago. Well, 4 years ago next month, March. He's not a novice anymore. Excuse me, and he's making the same mistakes. I mean, the game against Ross County in his first like half season, which was probably maybe one of the worst results in history. Yeah, probably was, in fact. I mean, the same mistakes he played with midfield in that day. You had to take, who was it, took off? Kenny Guemo, took him over in the first half and brought on Crossass because we're getting overrun.
I can't remember much about that.
I mean, that's 4 years ago. He problems with midfield.
I remember about that game is being there just laughing how bad it had got.
George Samaras also. Neil Lennon said he would never play for Celtic again after that. Don't forget.
It's not having to be hypocritical though.
I know, but I mean, the same problems are there 4 years later. And I mean,
if it was anybody else in my job who still made the same mistakes after 4 years, they'd be hounded and they'd be, you know, disciplined and that by Lennon. It's time and time again
he gets away with it. The other thing is that because we've got easy league wins. That's the thing. I mean, near the manager.
Havano said as well though that this run we're on isn't any great shakes.
No, it's not. I mean,
when people are going on about
but
it.
I don't think that many people do think it's great shakes. I mean, the reaction on Saturday was a lot more vitriolic than I expected. I knew people would be angry. Some smart people expected it to happen. That's the last time I'm talking about that. But I mean, even sort of some Bampot, you know, wonderful internet Bampot types are pissed off and angry and think that Lennon's went as far as he can with Celtic. And it's not a slight on Neil Lennon, who has given us some great results. But I mean, the same problems are there after 4 years.
They'll probably be there after
five and six years. There again next year, no doubt. In one-off games with 40 pieces. Lennon and Lowell said they wanted to get players bedded in for the Champions League qualifiers in July that'll improve the team. That's not happened. Chances are that Fraser Foster will leave in June, I'd expect. In July, middle July, we've got these qualifiers starting. They're at Murrayfield, not Celtic Park. There'll be like three quarters empty Murrayfield. And some of the players will be away.
Is it for Murrayfield?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Announced last week. Some of the players will be away in the World Cup.
But during the qualifiers?
I think it's agreed on that. I'll probably have a rest because he's got the World Cup.
Do you think Zagiri will leave?
No. I think he'll stay. But, and I think now with that happening, it'll be time for a break, a new start at Celtic. Lennon can leave and say, they won the league 4 years in a row. No many other managers have done that. Gave us that great win against Barca.
3 years in a row.
Sorry, 3 years in a row, sorry. That's me tempting fate, obviously. With Malky McIlley, he's just to 4 next season.
Tony Pulis.
I mean, I know it gets me, I don't want to slate him, but it is time, really, for a change. I think it'd benefit him as well.
Benefit me, and I think...
Benefit us as well.
Benefit us too. Because I hate myself. I really do.
What's that good day with Celtic?
Neil Lennon's made me... When I first came in 2010-2011 season, I was quite optimistic. If I was doing this podcast with you, I'd be sitting upright. I'd be quite enthusiastic.
You're going to be slumped lying on the ground like you're
there. Literally, you should see me now. I'm slumped, my
face down,
finger against my temple in my head, and I'm just so tired and fed up. And I hate myself for it. I hate the way I am. In some aspects, it's not funny. I hate the way, I honestly hate it. I don't mind any depressed people.
God, get the violin out.
Yeah,
I hate myself.
I just hate it. I feel...
We've got righty pissed off with Celtic.
We have, but it's all just...
It's stagnating. The club's stagnating.
Here's the bit that gets me, right? Unlike yourself, been a big gloating Gordon about it.
I didn't gloat. I mean, I wanted Celtic to win, but I knew this team...
Prominent people on the internet, and you know who they are.
Yes.
People who think they're celebrities on it just because they were there in the 90s, just like me and you were.
Mm-hmm.
They think that because it's not as bad as the 90s now, we've got a disgusting cheek to moan. And I think that's a disgrace. And these people, when I looked at them on Saturday, were hitting it with the same vitriolic abuse that we've probably been given Lennon. Probably worse.
Well, I don't think we've given virtual abuse. We've just said he's a poor manager.
Aye, well, sometimes I've been given none of it.
Disgraceful.
Heavy stuff when he's not wishing me a happy birthday. Thanks, Gio.
I don't think I hate Neil Lennon as a guy. In fact, I don't really care about him, but I don't like him as a manager. And I think it'd be best for him and get away if he's Scotland and go live in England somewhere with his family, try and get a job in the Championship or something.
Right, David Cameron.
But no. I mean, I think it is just best for a new start to Celtic. And
I think the way we're feeling the news, maybe. Sorry to get back on, like you, I was there in the '90s. I was there watching Rangers. I'm going to touch on a couple of things here. I was there watching like Rangers romping away to doubles, trebles, the league titles a lot, and then eventually we got a finger out and stopped at 10. But through my childhood, I did watch some really bad Celtic teams, and I don't think, see now that you've lived through that, what's wrong with wishing in this era that we actually were dead dominant? What's wrong with, we've not got that team anymore, we've got a better team, so why can't we expect far better? We accepted it back then because we had dross for the army and that, but now there's none of that. We've actually got the most resources in the country, so why are we still accepting crap thrown at us?
Wish we still had the army. They brave boys.
God bless their boys. But they did get footballers' wages.
I know, they boys in Afghanistan. God bless them. And tears here, the Walsh.
I think would they miss? If you look at the Rangers, right, through.
Who?
Sorry, the zombie, Deed, Serco,
yes.
McCoist. Yes. I don't know what they're calling it. Whatever the Bamports are calling them. Whatever the Bamports' favourite team.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them through the 90s, right, and the run they had, and, you know, when they were winning games and that, they absolutely crushed the opposition. They were rabid for it. They had a bad drinking culture there, but they had that mentality of no one teams.
The team that wins together drinks together.
What a statement.
That's what it was.
That'll be the new pod slogan. They put pods together, drink together. But we don't seem to have that thing at all. We don't have that ruthlessness. And
they won trophies. They won cups regularly back then. They won the treble, won a double next year, I remember. And the thing is, we have got actually no competition at all. Imagine being in a league thing where your biggest rivals for 125 years
in the toilet
don't play in the same division as you and won't for another 3 years. It's just incomprehensible. The
Rangers, would you say, had better competition than we do when they were winning?
Aye, look at.
Well, Motherwell had living in the Europe, wouldn't they? Aberdeen were actually.
Well, wait a minute, there you go. 2008, 89, 90. When I was.
Is that when it started, aye?
Well, no, their run started 88, 89, they're 9 in a row. We were third that year and won the Scottish Cup, beating 1-0 in the final. 89, 90. That was the first year we didn't win it for 6 years, but Aberdeen won two trophies that year, the League Cup and the Scottish Cup. Beat us in the Scottish Cup final in penalties. Yeah, so they won two trophies that year, and I think they might win two trophies this year. Then the next year, 1990-91, Aberdeen played Rangers at Ibrox in the last day of the season.
They bottled it, didn't they?
Aye, Aberdeen.
And Neil Lennon'd it.
Aye, Aberdeen were top of the league. If they get a point at Ibrox, they won the league. They beat 2-0. So even back then, when we were floundering crap, Rangers had challenges. Aberdeen pushed them. I mean, Hearts took them, I think, March at least. They were neck and neck. We've got absolutely nobody. We're 20 points clear.
We're
20 points clear by February. People are saying, oh, Aberdeen might do a challenge next year. Oh, there'll be 10 points behind us, 15 points behind us. Whoop they do. Attendances will continue.
I would love to see a challenge.
There won't be one. They're not big enough. They've not got enough fans.
No, days, we'll probably end up signing to Aberdeen Spurs next season to stop them challenges.
I mean, if I want to talk about Aberdeen, we're better off getting the Nostromo on Seasfield Bill. But, I mean, I think Aberdeen will do. They'll win both cups this season, I think. But they're both, of course, going to play at Celtic Park. Well done, Celtic. But
it's a shame because I'm sure the Bamports are livid. They can't visit their favourite stadium for the semi-finals.
Yeah, no, Fortress Ibrox. But hold on a second. I've just thought of something. Wanting us to win trophies means we're showing Hunlight entitlement.
Yeah, of course. I've read that for
so go back. All right, then go back to the back of the bus. Then you're balls. Blah, blah, blah. We want to go to the front of the bus. Oh, well, no. Well, show that attitude then, why you win every trophy. Don't whinge about being arrogant. Go on, fuck off to the back.
That's all right.
Good rant there.
Loser, you're right, though. It's a loser Celtic mentality.
I know. Well, no one to tramp. That's a typical Celtic mentality.
See, unlike entitlement, because they want to win stuff.
Exactly.
That.
This is going to sound
This is going to sound like that with a Rangers podcast.
This is going to sound ridiculous, but I think they knew I'd rather be a Rangers fan. No, because of the on-the-field stuff, and no doubt they play crap football, and I think Alan McCoy is a crap manager, let's face it.
That is pathetic.
But they could win the Scottish Cup. They're in the third division. I know they're probably by rights fourth, fifth in the Premier League. They'd probably be maybe third.
Maybe. That's like they finish second.
Well, maybe Damon Aberdeen, maybe. But they could win the Scottish Cup at Parkhead. That would be so huge for them. It'd be massive.
Well, so it is. Might very well be the only time in history again that the Scottish Cup's maybe played it. So the last time was 1998, wasn't it?
Aye.
They blew it against Hearts.
And the Huns will love this, I'm going to tell my Huns fans on Twitter to listen to this.
Right now, I'd imagine people have just turned off the podcast, you know, if I was getting into your wee safe corner with them.
I know, I'm just like a vampire. I take that back. But I mean, they've got this cup final. They will get, I think, well, at least they're going to be in a semi in their own stadium. They've got that. They could very well get in the cup final and win it. I mean, if they do, I won't criticise them or slag them or spend all day, cup final day on Twitter, non-stop talking about them, going, please lose Rangers, and acting like...
No. It'll be, I'm not watching this game. If you watch this game, you're scum.
Aye.
But then the same people that say that, say 5 minutes in, corner for Aberdeen, come on.
I'm not watching this game, fucking hell referee. and then I won't glow and cheer and go get up, yes, if the Huns don't win the cup final, because we should be in the cup final. We should still be in the cup. And because of Neil Lennon and players' crapness, stupid, arrogant mentality, well, no. And as I've said before, we've got 3 months of meaningless games to try to break some daft, unbeaten league record. It won't happen. If it does happen, I'll say I was wrong, but it won't happen. As soon as the league's won, the players will just forget about it and we'll lose a game or two. Or we'll lose to Aberdeen maybe in a couple of weeks up at Pittodrie.
But I mean, if it does happen as well, it counts for nothing really.
I mean, what's the big deal? If it was for partly a treble or a double even, like we could go in and say this is one of the best teams in our history. We won everything and we're unbeaten. That takes away from
something we discussed as well offline, where in 03-04 we went on fantastic runs, same in 2000, same under, in fact Stratton won 13 games in a row before. And
look,
I don't
even
to everybody get on about that.
Even a couple of years ago when TG took us in that run, like it was like 22, 23 wins in a row.
We're
just happy we're ratting up wins. We've only got on, let's set a record.
But we know why this is. It's because that run is literally the only thing that we had gone for us.
Aye.
There was no distractions. There was nothing to take it away. And it was a game, as you have said, Lennon building his CB.
But even that run 2 years ago, that was getting us ahead of Rangers. Because we were still at least in a title race.
Still thought we were actually playing good football then.
We were playing good football then, aye.
It was good to watch. Wanyama and Ledley were actually good to watch in midfield. Mm-hmm. Brown day.
Those were the days. As I was saying, I was looking at a Celtic website today. I won't name it. Let's just say Pierre Lowell might feed them info. And then see three initials. But
one of my favourites
as well. The guy was writing that one thing the fans have got to look forward to, no too many words, is that Fraser Foster might break the clean sheet record. Is that what Celtic have been reduced to? We've got 3 months left of the season and we've got to look forward to Fraser Foster beating a clean sheet record. Dear, oh dear.
My record's an Interscope, isn't it?
Aye. But I mean, you can tell there's some malaise.
If I was going to look forward to it, it's genuinely depressing.
I know. I mean, this
why should you go just to watch a goalkeeper?
I know.
That's
essentially
what you're doing. You're just going to be watching a keeper.
This game on Sunday, they're playing St Johnstone Sunday, 12:45.
St Johnstone, who can't really score a lot.
Right, Celtic Park, 12:45. It's on live in the telly. But when did they?
20,000.
Lucky get 20,000, 30,000, and you know there's a malaise. When it's the biggest game of the season we've got left, and when they sold the tickets, they closed the top tier, and people were saying, "I will have to force it at the moment because the demand will be there." And it wasn't there. There was only 30,000 there on Saturday for our biggest game of the season, and the top tier was closed. And unfortunately, when we look back at the Neil Lennon, Peter Lawwell reign, because they're sort of linked together in a way, one of the legacies will be the support hemorrhaging badly. And I don't even think when we play Rangers for the first time ever, that the attendances will increase that drastically. When we play them, when we play them, when we play European games, aye. But see,
overall in the season,
I mean, running him all league games, no. Lucky to get between 30,000 and 40,000. I mean, even 2010-2011, TG's first full season, we ended up playing good football.
The crowds, yeah, if we played,
were going low. The crowds were going down. I remember one of the first home games that season against Murnau, we went 4-0. It was like only like 45,000-47,000 there. And in fact, last season, no, in fact, the Rangers, the last season we played Old Rangers in the Premier League, the only sellouts were when we played Rangers. When we won the league in the, no, when we got the trophy in the last day when we played Hearts, wasn't a sellout. When we won the league last year against Inverness, I think they'd done cheap tickets, like £15-20, wasn't a sellout. The appetite isn't there. You see Celtic apart from playing Rangers and playing the Champions League. And that's because of no competition, our best players leaving and no getting replaced, and the poor standard of football dished up by this average Celtic team.
Young players only been getting
Champions League. Okay, let's talk about that. On you go. I know you're a bugbear about that, how we're not playing young players.
Don't want to make it as if I'm, you know, I'm going to be down fine. I'm going to be careful what I say here.
Aye. I don't want to spend all my time editing it then.
No, right, I was going to hit it with a sick joke.
No, I don't
want JT on the initials, but
I don't want
on the end of it. No, really, the bit that gets me right is how if Lennon was playing young players while maintaining this also special record, that would actually be an achievement. And it would be great to see him more than the youngsters, and it would actually be a reason to go back to Celtic Park to see young guys coming up through the reserves, through the youth, and actually getting a chance. Because again, you can identify them, you want to see them do well, and it's something for the future to build on. It's, you look at, when you look at like Ajax, and you look at the way they play, and you look at how they bring players through, there's one, it's something they've got, it's a culture there, it's pride, and they haven't to go, you know, they're another like massive fish in a small pond. Just like Celtic are here, but they don't go out and splash stupid money on players in the same league. They actually have a good culture where they bring up youth players, and it's an achievement for them to win the league with the young players. They're not fantastic in Europe, they make mistakes, but it's more rewarding for their fans to see them develop and see them actually test themselves against the best, as opposed to buying guys for teams in the same league who are nowhere near challengers, and you're expecting them to make a big step up and do stuff in high level.
We don't do that though either. We don't buy plus for Premier League teams, and I think we should. We really buy, like, I mean,
well, we didn't buy Griffiths, I suppose. I keep thinking he's,
who's the last player we bought for a Premier League team? I can't think. It's been a while. I'd much rather be signing guys like Gold and Peter Paul.
We should have signed Stuart Armstrong.
Stuart Armstrong, Peter Paul, even for Aberdeen, who was a good player Saturday.
I don't know, I don't like, I mean, you might see a challenge in all Aberdeen is just buying players.
What? No, you're being a vampire.
I'm not being a vampire, I want to see win everything, but I would much like that to be a semi-challenge as well.
I won't be one.
I know what I want.
Until Rangers, we play Rangers again.
I know what I want, but by taking players.
That's just what happens. That's what happens during England.
Aye, but that's on a more grand scale.
I know, but I mean, instead of buying players like Pookie, who was a desperation panic buy, as we talked about on the actual podcast when we bought, the day we bought him, me and Bruce, I mean, I'd much rather buy players for other Scottish teams.
I think, I mean, Stuart Armstrong's a very good player, we should have had to have him.
Stuart Armstrong should be signed. We won't ever sign Gold. Number one, he'd be too much money. Number two, we'd ruin him.
But I think, as well, I don't know why it got me thinking about a young player who I was actually speaking to last night, Tony Watt. I just wanted to throw that in there.
You're what?
I was speaking to Tony Watt. Check.
Were you?
Aye, I was checking. You cutting this or you going
to? No, I'll add it in. So describe to you what you were talking to Tony Watt about then.
Oh no, it was just me being absolutely hilarious. You can edit the conversation if you want. It was fantastic.
Hold on a second. Right, well, I'm looking for this. We can talk about how, talking about young players.
Tony Watt is outstanding now in Belgium.
I know, yes.
And he's actually shut me up because I thought his attitude might have held him back. I was maybe going with the wave of crusade against him, where a lot of Celtic fans were saying, deterred this, deterred that, his attitude's stinking, and we're choosing, you know, saying, oh, Neil Lennon did the right thing getting him to. And one aspect, Neil Lennon has done the right thing getting him out of Scotland. Or Celtic have, because he's been outstanding in Belgium. He's done very well for the years.
I'm not reading that tweet because it was poor.
Good patter button. That's brilliant. His is alright, but mine's is definitely 10 out of 10 stuff.
Mm, brilliant. Alright, Mr. Eagle.
Well, taking the air for you, isn't it? But Tony Watt is a player who, I mean...
Can I just say, no, my prediction, in fact, I'll do my other prediction later. Tony Watt won't play for Celtic again if Neil Lennon's a manager.
I would disagree with that.
No, I don't care.
I think the fans will want him back.
It doesn't matter what the fans want.
Well, I don't know, but I can see...
The fans are idiots.
I can't see Lennon not playing him. If
no,
it
he won't.
Comes to he holds... Watt would score an
he holds grudges,
barrel,
Lennon.
This is true. I think Watt would score an absolute barrel load, though.
I mean, we played it in the wing, then.
Lennon holds grudges, but why does he play Scott Brown and make him keep him captain?
Because he's one of Lennon's guys.
Brown and Lennon absolutely hated each other when they played against each other.
What does it matter? Paul Hartley and Lennon played in the same team, and Hartley elbowed Lennon and needed once at Tynecastle. I mean...
That's right, so
he did. No, Brown's one of Lennon's main guys, are you kidding? He's one of the mainstays. Mm. Back to young players for a minute. An example of what happens with your young players. Look at Fisher. Playing consistently well for a young guy, drove it for a half-foot player.
That'll have his confidence, I know.
I know, there was no need for it. Matthews will probably...
There was a Tadic who scored a belt against Motherwell.
Never seen again.
Never seen again. What happened there, Lennon should have kicked on and went, right, I'll give you Mayer.
Mayer's subs appearances, yeah. Then, towards the end of the season, later done with Watt, to be fair. At the end of the first season, we won the league. Watt started up at Motherwell, scored two goals.
Oh, he came on as a sub.
Sorry, he came on as a sub at Motherwell, scored two goals. That's what he should have done.
Then started.
And then started a man, done by Atagic. I can never pronounce his name right. But
maybe Atagic will.
Is he Shrewsbury or something?
Maybe he'll come back a better player. But I honestly feel up against, and if he was playing with his actual teammates, he was going to win the club. And he was up against a team. Let's face it, he's up against a very poor teams in the league.
Mm.
He would be having more development playing at a Celtic team. See if
we're so desperate for this wonderful competition, why don't we loan these players out to other Premier League teams?
That's £500 to anything right there.
And why don't we loan a Tadic to Hibs or the Sheep, or, well, not the Sheep, they're our challengers, don't forget, but they're our big rivals and they sing bad songs. Send them out to somebody like who's near the bottom, St. Mon, Thistle even.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then see how well they do in the Premier League. But that won't happen.
Then, as you say, with Tony Watt, it looks like getting out of Tony Watt, if he's any sense, won't come back to Celtic, he'll try and play elsewhere because he's maybe getting out of Scotland being the best thing.
I don't think he'll get a game for Celtic, because they won't play for Celtic again.
I'll hold you to that, I think he will.
Well, we can talk about that in the first pod of next season. We are still going to do pods this season, don't worry. And we'll do that.
I just feel sorry for people having to listen to this.
Don't say that.
I feel sorry for people having
fans
to...
love us.
Yeah.
And we'll need to do a World Cup summer special as well, of course. Because at least we'll get the World Cup.
We'll talk about Celtic, though.
Or the World Cup. No, we'll do a sort of summer... We'll talk about this off pod. Right, so... As we think... Let's talk about... We've talked about Neil Lennon. We'll talk about who we think should be manager next.
Tony Pulis.
Well, we'll talk about that at the end, I think somebody else. But let's talk about Peter Lawwell now. Now, you've strangely once claimed in this podcast to be a fan of Peter Lawwell.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think you can be fans of football chief executives and chairman because they're bastards and don't know anything.
Not like politicians, I suppose.
Exactly. Vote no. But, that's for Lee. But, Peter Lawwell is not doing a good... I don't think he's doing a very good job at Celtic.
You'll see, yeah, it's because of the profit that he's bringing in.
But the profit doesn't matter.
But today, sort of times, it does.
Look at the empty seats. I mean, if they think about...
A Celtic are in debt, he's doing a good job, that's the way you look at it. A Celtic are in...
No, but we're a bit emotional types, like the fans. Not the band ports, the fans. Even normal fans, I don't think he's doing a good job, because the team is... I don't care what MD says, the team's regressing badly. I mean... I don't care what the benchmark, as Martin Neal wants to put it, is Europe. It's not the SPL anymore because we've not got any challenges, and it's worryingly like last year was an aberration, not a fluke, because we had two good results. You can't say it was a one-off fluke, but I mean, since that team, two of the biggest players in that team, Gary Hooper, but in Europe especially, Victor Wanyama, are away, not being replaced. You could tell
Kelvin Wilson as well.
Kelvin Wilson even, who of course Bruce loves. Let me read out Bruce's statement at the end. Who Bruce loved. He left. Three mainstays of the Champions League team. And you knew that the writing was on the wall for this team in the Champions League. And look at Elfsborg.
I'm not going to be a ego man yet. Like
yes.
But
oh, of
as
course.
Well, as well,
yes,
I don't know.
Yes, yes. You didn't want us to get in the Champions League. Because
nope.
You knew it would be a horrendous embarrassment, and it was.
Correct.
Now I'm starting to think that. We'll talk about Wolverhampton in a minute, but you knew the writing was on the wall at this team. Elfsborg away, we scraped through 1-0. Kelvin Wilson saved the day in his last game. Carrigandy away, one of your worst European performances in years. A humiliating 2-0 defeat.
The celebrations.
Then the 3-0 win at Carrigandy, probably the only highlight, and that seems all this season. Maybe Ajax and all, but that was a great
Utopia,
one.
Mate.
Eh? Utopia, sorry, I forgot. I mean, we were a crossbar away from going out the Champions League completely. I think Force would have got sold definitely if we never got in the Champions League. But I'm probably going to kill for this, but I don't care. I think it might be better in the long run, as you said, if we don't get in the Champions League next season.
No, I agree. I don't think. I think we've got to focus on a team that is entertaining and is you're proud to support again in the league.
I would much rather we sort of build a functional team.
I'd just love to see a good youthful team with energy, with pace, with directness.
The thing is, if Neil Lennon is still manager in July, and I don't know if he will be.
All that sort of stuff I've just said won't happen.
I know, but if Neil Lennon is manager in July, and I'm unsure if he will be, if we don't get in the Champions League, I mean, what are we going to achieve next season, really? I mean, it's probably, he's under pressure now. I know some, I'd probably say slight majority still back Neil Lennon, because of the off the field stuff, not on the park stuff. But you can tell the numbers are growing more and more that people are just fed up with what's happening. And with no Rangers next season still, if we don't get in the Champions League, it would be a disaster. But it might, in a strange way, be better in the long run.
I think it would. I think we could rebuild better if we focus just on
we need to rebuild to get an entertaining team and get the fans back in the seats, and this is what I think will happen about Neil Lennon. I think I've said this to Stannis off pod, but I think season ticket sales will determine what happens with Neil Lennon and Celtic. I mean, we've got 41,000 season ticket holders. That was with £100 off last season. They can't even think about increasing it even £10, because I think
no way.
They might maybe increase it, decrease it, cut it down again, maybe £20 or something. But season tickets will fall again to, I think, maybe 35,000, maybe less than that. And the people that have got the season tickets are only turning up. Look at the attendances. We haven't had one. Europe aside, we've had one sale this season. And we won't have any in the league. I bet when we either win the league title or get the league trophy, there won't be a sale.
Be empty seats.
I know what I mean. Peter Lawwell, Dermot McDesmond, as a Rangers fan, called him on the radio the other night, and Neil Lennon have to arrest the fact that fans are only turning up, and we need better players. Even if we'd better players, that would make up for the fact that we haven't really got a credible league challenger probably for another 2 or 3 years. But the players we're signing, still only doing it, and it's a sad state of affairs. When Amido Baldi, no offence to Bruce's favourite, and Lee Griffiths and Van Dijk as well, are thrown up front desperately to try and save us in the Scottish Cup at home in Aberdeen, say we're 20 points ahead of. I mean, that's like a sort of line in the sand moment, that this Celtic team's quality has gone down drastically.
It's exaggerated terribly.
Aye, it's not a good team at all, it's average. I suppose in a strange way, if you have to give him a bit of credit for managing to no lose in 23 league games or something, because it isn't a great. But that's doing the opposition, though.
Well, I'm going to say, I think no getting to the Champions League next season is probably going to work out a good thing. If you look at how maybe it'll work out, it'll be like 05-06 with Stratton.
Ended up being a good season.
Well, he didn't get in the Champions League. People were all livid. It was quite rightly so at this time, in the manner of it. But then you look at how he rebuilt in the league. You look at how. the Rangers were in it as well to make it interesting, yes.
Hearts,
but
even that season.
Hearts were fantastic. But you look at how we get Nakamura, who was a player of complete quality. Stratton gave Maloney a chance.
One player a year, like
Maloney you. Was magnificent. We actually had players in mid. You know, the defence wasn't the sharpest, midfield was hit and miss. Petrov was really good.
John Hartson
too. And they players as well as Stratton bringing in a few.
Even Craig Beattie played no bad this season.
No, I don't want to. Ross Wallace was poor. But he still contributed to the left back that season.
And Paul Hartley kicked him. Wasn't Paul Hartley a big Celtic fan attacking Celtic players? It's very strange. But I mean,
that was anti Scottish racism.
Oh, of course it was.
Always an agenda. But that 05-06 turned out alright.
We did lose to Clyde. Let's gloss over that.
I know that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to revisionism with Stratton. I'm not going to say it was all utopia, but I mean,
there's only been utopia once. And it was Hearts under 19s, no Celtic 7.
Francis Lennon.
But I mean, back to Stratton. I mean, you can compare him away with Lennon.
They both had
some terrible results. They both had some great results. But I think Stratton was a better manager. And he had better players. And he had better teams to play against.
Stratton in 07-08, let's just forget about the fact that he was up against a good Rangers team. Aberdeen were very good in the UEFA Cup. They had an excellent run. They also won the Scottish Cup. They bottled it against Queen of the South. Aberdeen were actually quite decent. 07-08, they had, again, might have beat them 5-1 or something.
Right.
But they were generally no bad. 07-08, Dundee United were a good team under Craig Levein. Hearts were capable of getting the result. So I would argue Stratton up against the competition compared to Lennon. Stratton has, you know, had done many a job than Lennon did.
Well, the problem is that Neil Lennon's a competition in 1.5 seasons. And in the one season we had competition, we lost the title. And the season we half with competition, we were 4 points ahead when Rangers went in the administration. So, well, we're probably going to win the league this season, but it wasn't over yet. We're still months to go. But I mean, right, so we better get Bruce Hull's viewpoint. Before we go into who we hope Celtic's next manager will be, or when we think Neil Lennon will be manager next season or no, Bruce Hullboy has wrote a very long and detailed statement about the situation involving Neil Lennon.
Well, you might talk about that guy for Jordy Shore.
Will I read it?
Well, you might as well.
Right. And you can agree with it or not, as I read it. Right. Very disappointed on Saturday, as it shows again that on one-off occasions like cup matches, Neil Lennon can't motivate the players. The decision to play Samaras, who is playing for his future elsewhere, was a kick in the face to those who paid for a ticket and to illegally streamed the game. When we're 4-0 up, Baldy and Berichter get 2 minutes, but when we're struggling, they get 20 minutes. That's true. As if all of a sudden Lennon has faith in them. I don't know who'd want to play for him as a manager. His tactics were a shambles from start to finish, and there was no urgency at all at 2-1 down. It seemed to be just get the ball to Forrest and hope for the rest. Like, done that before. Like Stratton with Gide Ball and McGeady as well.
Yeah.
Teams play Celtic in the Cup and don't feel easily doing the league. They see a draw in the league is a good result, but in the Cup, they know we can be got it. Lennon should finish the season, which is over on everything except giving us a league trophy and then leave in the summer. Where a folk like it or not, inverted commas, strong Rangers would have seen Lennon out of a job long before now. True.
I agree with that.
The Champions League, which we even managed to ruin by going out embarrassingly, was cover for an average league campaign. He's right again. Now talk of unbeaten leagues in November are shading over a shocking Champions League campaign where we couldn't even do the basics. Never mind lamenting the fact that we didn't have as much money as three other teams in the group. You could be a writer, you know. How much more did Aberdeen spend on team on Saturday? And folk are still moaning at the board for not buying Lennon. Only the Milan game in Milan could be down to the fact that we never spent money on a goal scorer. The other games were a complete lack of basics, like playing a 2-yard pass to a teammate and a lack of heart. True. The apologists will be there, but surely in the summer it's time to go. We've turned into Stratton's tier that were cup shocks seem to happen once a season. Though this is now twice a season. Who should go well, his stock is relatively high. He's right.
But I would say Lennon's stock isn't really relatively high anymore. He is right, but...
Well, I mean,
it's as high as it once was, but that's why.
No, as high as last season.
Well, last season everybody was tipping them for the Everton job, and turned out Everton didn't even contact them at all. Swansea, everybody's going on about them, but
I don't want to mention or dear deliver rivals again. But I was, and this is shocking, but I was talking to a Rangers fan on Twitter. We're calling each other Huns and Tims and bastards and all that. But he said,
"I'm going to leave right now." I'm disgusted at that.
He said that he doesn't think that Ali McCoy's ever got another job in football again after Rangers. Yeah, I don't think Neil Lennon will get another job.
No, I think Lennon will.
You do?
I do. Yeah, I think Lennon will get another job because, like I thought, Lennon's one Champions League campaign will show him. I think he will get a job elsewhere. I really do. But I do agree with him. I mean, this isn't the Rangers podcast, even though some people.
God, I wish it was.
I would be here every week if it was. But I mean, McCoy said I agree he's never going to get a job. But that's the last I have.
Yes. Until the Cup final special. Please God, let Aberdeen win the Cup.
I'm not watching it. Do you want to come
in
to watch it?
Aye, okay. We'll get a carry out and cheer on. I'm going to wear like just a whole red suit. Like paint my trousers red. Right. So, here's a big question. When we go into our first Champions League game in July, I think the 15th, do you think you'll end up with the manager?
Yes.
You do?
I do. You?
No, I don't.
Think he'll walk or think he'll be pushed?
I think he'll leave his own accord. I think, and if I'm wrong, so be it.
Do you think he'll work his ticket to the whole Billies?
No, I think he'll just say... I think he'll just say...
Because he was a bigger man with the Aberdeen thing. He impressed me with that.
I mean...
He absolutely... The Bampots were livid, but they were dying for him to say it was sectarian. They were dying for him to say it was anti-Irish racism. But he said, no, it was just afties at a game.
They were raging. I know.
They were bailing.
That's what you expect from him. Come on.
But no, Lennon was a bigger man then. Yeah,
for once. But I think he'll just say he's fed up. He might mention the off-field stuff a wee bit, but he'll just say that maybe it's time for a change. He did say 4 years of a shelf life for a Celtic manager about Gordon Strachan. This is his fourth full season. And I think it's time.
We've went backwards.
Club was at a crossroads with
Champions League guy, but
2010-11
first season was the best football I've seen.
The problem was when we went on that dodgy run 2011-12 when we lost to Hearts and had a couple of bad results, it completely changed the team and it was never as attacking as a game. But maybe when we win the league, mathematically no one would get the trophy, he'll say something like, maybe announce on the pitch or on the next day that he's going to leave. He's taking Celtic as far as he can.
Maybe on the pitch, right.
Time for a change, and then at the end, the last day of the season, there'll be a sort of farewell. It'll probably sell out. Like, good luck to Neil Lennon. I'd have no criticism for that. I'd say, not his biggest fan.
I would only know if something inside so strong plays.
If that happened, I'd just be in tears, obviously, Walsh.
Of course.
But I think. I wouldn't be shocked if he did stay for one more season. But what I think will happen is he'll go on the end of the season and he'll say, I've done as much as I can. He said himself the other day that he's only looking at the short term when it comes to transfers. And I better word this carefully, but there's been rumours that Malky Mackay has been approached to be the next manager.
Is that right?
Aye.
Alright, agent in the know.
I might be wrong, but that's what the word is.
Yeah, for only you know who I want as a manager.
So, let's talk about who we hope, hypothetically, the next manager is going to be. And I hope it is Malky Mackay, because obviously he played for Celtic, which is obviously a massive, big and very important thing to people. And he was doing no bad at Cardiff. And he's had experience in the Premiership. People are getting themselves in a panic, like, Neil Lennon has to say who we're going to get in. I dread who we're going to get in, forgetting that Neil Lennon had no experience when he got the job. And he wasn't even an assistant anymore because Tony Mowbray would get rid of him.
I've heard people say don't want Mackay because of what he did to Cardiff.
Getting them promoted.
A team in the Premiership where they have got the worst squad, you'd arguably. Solskjaer's not that much better.
And they've got an insane owner as well.
Yeah. Right.
Although, strange enough, I was talking to a Cardiff fan the other day and he said that the football they played was poor. But can't be any worse than the sort of grinding 1-0 victories we've had often this season and last season.
I think would probably get bored out, but you know who I want.
This isn't going to happen, but tell them who it is.
It's the Welsh Dragon himself, Tony Pulis. I think the man's remarkable. I would arguably say he's probably one of the best British managers in football, isn't it? What he's done with Crystal Palace is incredible. I've always rated him at Stoke. I'm a bit of a pragmatist when it comes to football.
He gets a bad rap for playing bad football.
But he doesn't play bad football.
And I mean,
I think it was a myth, because when you watch Stoke and some of their games, they have some thuggy players, but a lot of them, and I remember they had Rory Dalab with a big daft long throw, but they used all their tools to their advantage. They used all their resources available to get the results against good teams, and you know, that's something I think Tony Pulis would get the absolute best. He wouldn't take any laziness for the players on the pitch. Pulis would get the absolute best at them. You get the best out of Commons every single game, not just now and then. You get Stokes absolutely working his arse off.
Well, I think that's too far.
Nah, well, maybe on Samaras as well. Pulis would get rid of Stokes and Samaras.
He would.
You see him out. But I think Tony Pulis in charge of Celtic, I would be in tears if it happened. A truly wonderful man, a great manager.
But it's not going to happen.
If Lowell has it in him to just stay one thing to make me happy, it would be to get all that money that the fans have invested, go down to London, speak to Tony Pulis and say, look, Anthony, we're going to give you an option here to become a legend, Melvin, but you're already there. How do you like to be guiding this team to Champions League glory?
Has to be said, he has done a brilliant job at Palace, who I think
that's
will stay
up. That's a wonderful job. If he keeps it up,
he should be manager of the year. He won't be, but he should be. Let's look at who, if Neil Lennon does leave. In fact, let's look at who the next manager will be anyway, because I can't see Neil Lennon being here at least the season after next. I think he'll be here one more season if he does stay. Who do you think they will go for?
Honestly, I think Malky Mackay is the obvious shout. I just think it is, because he's there.
Do you know how they'll go for? They'll look at Jackie Mack and all, especially if United win the cup.
No, I think McNair is Stokes taking a doing after that. He was the flavour of the month.
On a previous podcast, we raved about him.
We did, but he's really well. They won yesterday, and apparently they played quite good stuff. But I think McNamara's shown that he's done United when he just took over as well.
Right.
He got okay results. Then they
first ever game he beat a team I won't name 3-0.
Right, so he did.
So there you go. The guaranteed
six,
the job.
Was 6-2 to us.
He did.
But then they had an amazing run, and they beat 4-3 off us, and then towards the end, they were terrible. I don't think no go to McNamara. No, I think.
What about Craig Levein? Surely not.
No Levein either.
Sad team. I did actually want him to be Celtic manager at one stage.
I think in my Bamport years, I wanted him to be manager after that rant at Ibrox.
Wasn't that
against Mike McCurry? And I remember standing up, going, "Get him in right now." I know. I'm going to be following the film tomorrow, aren't I?
Yeah. Mind update your blog. Sorry, the servers are done. And get 27 million and 27,000. Confused. Right, now... I was going to say Mark McGee, but he's sort of...
He had a press conference the other day saying he didn't want to.
What?
Mark McGee.
He did?
Did you not see it in Sky?
No.
He had a press conference
for Scotland?
Not for Celtic. He had a press conference the other day.
There was a Celtic press conference. Mark McGee
called a press conference and said they had no interest in the Celtic job.
Is that a joke?
Aye, because that's what he did in 2010.
Thank you.
And Mowbray left, you know.
Yes, I remember that. I was going to say, what was the use in saying all that? I remember he sort of he did have a sort of funny time when he never got the job, so he's at the windy.
I don't know why he was ever in the running, it's supposed to be the Motherwell, wasn't it?
He done well, Motherwell finished third the first season.
07-08?
07-08, won at Parkhead, drew with Rangers, and that sort of won as a league. I mean, it'll probably be Mick McCarthy, maybe. He's done a good job at Ipswich.
He's Irish. Proper Irish, no
Fulham. Well,
Irish,
so. No, he's for Barnsley.
Oh, yeah. So he is kid on Irish.
He actually, I can't see him getting the job.
His football's poor.
Football's poor, but he is actually a good manager. I mean, he's took Ipswich for nearly relegation, got him like seventh, and like, yeah, he's always been a decent manager.
He's always been with teams, but they're always strapping.
So no, it won't be. He's a sort of firefighter type guy, and he goes in and sort of fixes teams up.
Regarding what happens with Aston Villa, maybe Paul Lambert.
But he has actually said that he wouldn't consider it.
He wouldn't say that when they come back. Because of the emotional pull as well. But he's got sense. So.
Yeah, I don't think he'd come back. I think he'll want to try and make a fist at Villa, and sort of. They've been average really under him. some too many poor results. But then look at Tony Moore. We gave a guy who got relegated for the Premier League job. Only mean after he wins the cup. Win as many trophies as Celtic this season. No, but he won three. League in the Rams, this cup and all. Can't wait for the treble DVD.
5 out of 12, isn't it? 5 out of 9.
5 out of 13. Now let's talk about that.
Brutal.
We really have been abysmal in the cups since Neil Lennon took over. Even his biggest defenders must admit that. We've had, since he took over, if we're just talking about cup competitions, not the league, but it's 2 trophies out of 9. First season, lost to Ross County. Second season, won the Scottish Cup. Mm-hmm. Lost to Rangers in the League Cup. Third season, Hearts semi-final, Kilmarnock final defeats. Last season, St Mirren. This season, Morton and Aberdeen.
Question, which is Lennon's greatest triumph in cup competitions?
Actual triumph or take the piss?
No, actually, like, which was the best result?
Two each against 10 men at Ibrox.
Yeah,
actually... That's the worst thing about how we've regressed and Neil Lennon's tactics have regressed. I mean, if we look at that 2011 Cup game against Rangers, we got it to 1 each, we were on top, Forster got sent half, 2-1 behind. I thought, well, we'll lose 3 or 4-1 here. Doesn't matter, it's a cup. And then we turned it round, put Rangers under constant pressure, Brown scored a great goal. Samaras should have won it with a header. I think it hit half McGregor's face.
Aye.
But, nice. And we dominated them with 10 men for like 40 minutes. Naismith got sent half for about 10 minutes to go for that even.
Like him.
Aye. I mean, that team, I don't even think Gary Hooper played that. No, he did play, he did play that day. That team, the fight they showed then, something's happened in the next 3 years. The fight has went out of this Celtic team. I mean, in the past, you'd think going Saturday there, well, do a gung-ho last minute equaliser. It was never going to happen.
Like the old Celtic teams are past.
Let's go back to the old days and start crying.
No,
I mean,
I like the Van Hooy Dalton Tom.
Exactly. The romanticism. There you go. A Celtic would have got us our equaliser on Saturday. And we were up to Pittodrie and won. But that's not there. But the Celtic team, it's pragmatic.
And if we get an equaliser on Saturday, we might be on the way to Pittodrie and being humbled.
Aye, we'd have lost to Pittodrie probably. But you knew we weren't going to equalise on Saturday. With that one chance, half chance for Griffiths to hit by the post, that was it. I mean, after Van Dijk missed that Saturday, Aberdeen hit the post, so they cancelled each other out. But the last half an hour, we had to win to keep the season going. With one chance, one half chance. And that's that's not good enough. I mean, Derek McInnes is a good manager. This Aberdeen team, we get more praise to other teams. This Aberdeen team is a good team, sort of. If they win two cups, fair fucks to them. But I mean, that isn't good enough at all.
Going forward, what is your hope now for the rest of the season? I know you said you're not going to watch
it. That's true. I stand by that. I'm not going to watch another Celtic game this season, but we're still going to do the pod. The pod is the...
My hope is for the next season.
Wait a minute. The league games of the season? Let's talk about the league.
Because what I'm saying is the league for the rest of the season. If we've got any hope, Lennon will forget about a stupid obsessive run that he's got and playing the big favourites all the time just to keep it going. He'll actually put his horns up and go, do you know what? Fuck it. He'll actually play in their young players. You'll actually have player people interested in seeing the young guys again. You'll have me interested in, you know, I'm going to say I'm in Operation U Tree with this part, but I do just want to see young guys at Celtic succeeding.
But is it going to happen?
Yeah, I do. And chances out of 10, because Lennon's obsessed with a CV building, nah.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's a 1 out of 10 chance.
I'll be the same old diddies on Saturday.
Well, look at how when we won the league last season, we won it with the most amount of points we'd get. We still played on a favourites, even after we won.
But don't forget, the players had a holiday last season during the season.
That's right, yeah, and it benefited them because
that. I don't think they'll do it in this season because I think they'll be in frenzy, a tedium.
Moving on to next season.
But wait a minute. Apparently, one of the goals is 100 points.
Yes! that's what matters. Can we achieve that, I think?
We got that already, and O'Neill was around the second season.
But we didn't make a big deal about it.
No, we never.
Because that was just a bonus. The big deal was the league.
Exactly. No, the big deal isn't the league. The big deal's Europe and good football. And
my hope for next season, well, season's going forward, I want to get a season ticket back again. I want to be going to football with my granddad, my uncles, and just enjoying it.
That's why I have a wee cry.
But sometimes I feel like it. Look at me, and I'm just sitting just so fed up. I hate him.
Are we going to have to change it to the Maudlin men?
Lord Flanders. But
all right, unless
I want to go back to football, I want to enjoy Celtic, I want to enjoy going to sitting at Block 102 again and just, you know, having a.
Hold on a minute. I gave up my season ticket after 17 years. I had it since I was 15 or 14.
I brought a medal along for you for that.
Thanks for that. I haven't made a big deal about giving up. So I don't want to be anti. Let's just say I don't regret giving up my season ticket. I sometimes miss going to Celtic.
How did you go to the games then?
I went on the Celtic bus and went with my mates.
Did you go away in your family?
The first couple of years, aye. And then me and my mate.
Then you fell away from them all. I'll go with my family and it's an emotional bond.
Me and my mate Tubbles had tickets for a year. Then me and my mate Dave had season tickets for about 8 years. And he stopped going to get married. And,
yawn.
Well, you wanted to know who I went with. Then I just ended up going, ding me.
I don't know the life story, your pals.
Oh, there used to be two season tickets.
I like Dave
anyway,
he's alright.
He's alright, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I'll get him on the pod, maybe. no, they all don't like me anyway.
Well, that's my goal. I might go back to football and I want to be happy with Celtic and I want to be my old me watching the football. There we go.
Jeez, how maudlin.
And on the pitch, I want us to be successful and winning.
I wish it was the old days. With my dad and granddad.
How's the doctors though? Is it alright?
Going my peak, getting my.
You don't talk about that, nah. Personal, aye.
Variety of sexual diseases. But, I don't really know where the future goes, really, for here. It's depressing.
Fiery David Starkey.
Is he an extreme right wing Tory? Just like me. But, vote no. But, we'll do an independent special as soon as there's new football to talk about.
Well, it'll be September. Maybe. Like,
oh, when enough. By then, we'll have exciting Celtic things to talk about.
I don't know.
But, I mean, if we're still doing a pod this season, some things will happen. They've got to.
Are we not going to do a thing that our favourite sex pest, Pointy Fex Maximus, said in the future?
Oh, yes, we are. We'll talk about this then. On the next podcast.
Give him credit. Don't say you made it up.
I made this up, actually. It was a former podcast guest, Pointy Fex Brown Trousers Maximus. this is all about in-joke, but a previous guest, Pontifex Maximus, he came up with an idea that we'll have a question, we'll put it out in the hashtag, and we'll put it out in probably our own Twitter accounts and the pod Twitter account, and we'll get people to send us the answers, and we'll say them out during the pod. And in fact, I'm going to get a special guest in the next pod as well, but he doesn't know it yet. We'll talk about it off pod. But
listen, I talked to Neil and he said that he's up for it.
Oh, Neil, oh great. Can't wait.
It'll be Chris Graham, actually.
Oh, good, we're big fans of Rangers. We've thought about this.
They'll fit in here, won't they?
Aye. Right, so, we've talked for a while, we'll miss the last couple of minutes of the pod. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the scenario itself?
Sorry. I'm just sorry to everybody for this. Otherwise, it sounds like
in fact, we've not really talked about the online reaction, have we? We've alluded to it. It has really been, but I mean, I don't know. It's a pity that
you can tell that it's got to on now, can you?
It's a pity that it's went so flat so early. I mean, 3 months.
This can't be what it's like the rest of the time with the pod. We've got to.
No, I've got to the more cheery things, but then the players.
The players aren't again, is it?
The players aren't again, is it? The managers aren't again, is it?
Mere Christmas specials would be good.
Yeah, they'd be good.
All we need to do is just get drunk again.
Aye. Maybe bruise you. No, he won't. Right.
He still listens.
Oh, good. Come back home, bruise, we miss you. Right, but no, it's a pity that so many of the podcasts have been after sort of poor defeats. Maybe that's a sign that the first season of the podcast with so many poor results.
We've done this too late, see if we had the podcast in 2010, 2011.
It'll be brilliant, we'd be like, win it for Neil, fight for the gaffer.
I'd be drinking Red Bull here and everything, and stamping up with my Doc Martens on, giving it a John Wilson as a scumbag.
I know, win it for the gaffer, he's been through so much.
Got my candlelight.
Win the cup for the gaffer, could do a live podcast for the candlelight vigil.
Then we have to end up confiscating my parcels.
No, we're stuck. I'm going to talk about a team that's gave up.
What, Statler and Waldorf for the end, man?
I know, but that's not your fault. That's true. That's the fault of the wonderful manager and wonderful players and wonderful chief executive at Celtic Park.
What's your hope then for hope
for next season or for this season or both?
Keep your personal stuff away.
Well, I hope Dana D'Armond makes me a films. Better cut this out. People think we're scum. And I don't want people to think we're nice guys. Well, why did you want to know that anyway? Is that so you can Google later?
No, I thought it was just
Alright, okay. Right, enough of this. Personal lives. Personal. Neil's a big fan, probably. Well, ask him. How do you pronounce it, Neil? Right, enough in jokes. Obviously, I hope that we play more young players like you, Pope. But, I mean, I can't see it happening. I know for a fact that I'm going to play again this season, which is a crime. If Neil's got if Neil's got any sense, he'll know not to play Sam Harris again, but then he played him in the big game on Saturday, which I did think would happen. Guy Griffiths are on the games. I suppose you'll get a run of games anyway because he's supposed he'll be playing the Champions League qualifier, won't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, the goal was to get players bedded in for the Champions League qualifiers, as we said already in the pod, but they've not really.
Makes you hope for next season, though.
Well. I hope Neil Lennon's not the manager.
What's
that? I'm sad to say. I don't want to be a miserable cunt. But I know. But I think it's best for all involved. For the fans. For the players.
For us.
For us.
For this podcast.
For this podcast. And probably for Neil Lennon himself. I think it's just for the best that we make a clean start next season. And before the Champions League qualifiers. Because I don't think this season is good enough to get in the Champions League. I know we're saying it's probably for the best. But if we don't get in the Champions League, you know for a fact, there'll be big recriminations. And I think Neil Lennon would probably end up maybe resigning.
If Lennon didn't get in the Champions League if he was manager next season, though, that's different. But if a new manager wasn't into it, I mean, I'd be saying, right, be building the league.
I think if we don't get in the Champions League next season, if Neil Lennon is a manager, he's finished.
Oh, he's done. He's come. And then you might say he might not actually get another job again.
No, I mean, after it. Do you actually think this Celtic team is good enough to get in the Champions League?
No.
No.
That's what I said at the start of the season, wasn't it? Anyway.
I mean, the players we've bought only better than the players that have left, the worse. And I can say that because.
What did you say about Van Dijk? Kelvin Wilson had one mare.
Van Dijk, Kelvin Wilson. Is Johansson going to be a replacement for Wanyama? No. Lee Griffiths and Hooper? Come on. I mean, I doubt very much that Fraser Foster's going to be in goals in July. I think he'll either he'll be away or he'll be away because of England.
Can maybe look at possible goalkeepers then for.
Aye, fun. Aye. We'll do a transfer special, but I mean.
Can it be?
Steve Simons.
As well, aye. Can it be? Who's got the best record in Scotland for a goalkeeper?
Rangers have got the best record in Scotland as a team in the leagues.
That's a team.
I don't know. Scottish Cup winners. But. Enough about Rangers. But my hope is, and it's no slight to Neil Lennon, I don't hate Neil Lennon, honestly.
He has been through so much.
He has been through a lot, really. And it has been poor, mostly. I think it's best for everybody involved that he leaves Celtic in the summer. And he can leave at least with his head sort of held high, that he can point to the Barcelona win, the Spartak Moscow win. They were great wins. We can't take that away from them. But the disasters are starting to outweigh the positive stuff when it comes to Neil Lennon. Cup exits. The lack of playing the youth players. People are saying, oh, people will go mad if we play youth players and we get beat. No, we won't. That doesn't happen. It doesn't matter if we lose a game. We won the league in August.
It's mental. One of them before I've always officially.
I know. But I mean, as for the best, if Neil Lennon leaves, and my hope, no being critical on Neil Lennon as a guy, is that he leaves in the summer and we get a fresh start. And
A bit more excitement.
A bit more excitement. And then if the next.
To listen to ugly boys,
no, and if the next manager's crap, we'll hammer him as well.
I'll send them their parcels.
Aye. So, that's the hopes for the future. And the hopes for this season is that young players, more young players at the game.
Yeah, well, you can tell where the guest is when that's us then, but.
Very well.
That's why I say sorry to everybody, that's it.
Aye, sorry, it's been so gloomy this
week. Honestly, people be listening to this and the motor's going off the Erskine Bridge now going, fuck this. And I don't want people to listen to us and.
I know we don't want to be. We don't want to have more negative, miserable guys, but I mean.
But we have been proven right for the start, we're honest.
Aye, Saturday was. We can't do anything but be miserable about Saturday, because it was.
I'd rather be like us than other Celtic media and online personalities out there. Either gloss over it or don't even mention it. Yeah. And, you know, they talk about other crap.
The Rangers, you mean?
Well.
The biggest problem is that with our online stuff, shoot us down the flames if you want. We don't care. Snort.
Need the lights as we don't
care. Exactly. Rangers. The problem is they are focused too much on Rangers, just like we've been today. And, like, anytime we've got a bad result, let's talk about Rangers. Or, anytime we've got a bad result, off-field stuff for Neil Lennon. As we've said before, have to take away the on-field stuff for the on-field stuff for Neil Lennon.
Yeah.
And the on-field stuff is poor, very poor. And on the park it's been very poor. So, that'd be a good title for this week's episode, Very Poor. But, as I said, it's just for the best. If there's a part
stale,
of the way...
Stale, stale with the sales on you.
Oh, very good.
That's what I'm here for.
Very good. But, sorry it's been so miserable this week. I'm sure we'll do another episode in a couple of weeks.
We'll have to get somebody on, we'll have to get somebody to cheer it up.
We'll get a special guest on and we'll have fun. We can maybe look forward to who we're going to sign next season.
Definitely not. Honestly, again, my last word, sorry to everybody for this.
Yep, we'll be more fun next week. Follow us on Twitter at SnarlingMen. I'll put a message at the end of this. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Hail, hail. Thanks for listening. Hopefully the next pod, well, it must be more cheery than that one. Follow us on Twitter, @thesnarlingmen. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Hail, hail.